Good morning. I am so happy to be here. I have never been to Texas before. And I had no idea that a place like this existed. This is so beautiful. You have this little secret spot that nobody knows about. I posted a picture on Facebook, and I said, who knew? I thought we were going to Texas. And they said, somebody wrote back, I don't think you did go to Texas. Thank you so much for welcoming. Denise and I have had a great weekend so far. So thank you, Reverend Allen, and thank you all for welcoming us here. Like Allen said, I'm editor of Daily Word. I've been editor for about 3 years. Before that, I was assistant editor for a number of years. And I wanted to tell you a story about something that happened to me when I first started as assistant editor. One of my responsibilities was to read the letters that came in from the readers. And I would choose the ones that we were going to print and publish in the magazine. So one day, I'm sitting in my office, and I open up a letter from a woman in Colorado. And she tells me her story. And it's a pretty desperate story. She's in a bad space. She's an alcoholic, and she's been struggling. She feels depressed and hopeless. And she talks about how she feels like she's hurt people in her life, and others have hurt her, and she's feeling ashamed. She doesn't want to drink anymore, but it's pulling at her. It's a struggle. And she doesn't know if she can go on. And she's even considering taking her own life. And in her apartment was a copy of the Daily Word. And she doesn't tell me how it was there. I don't know if maybe her mother left it for her or a friend. But this morning, she picked it up. And it was back in 2005. The message was grace. I'll read you a little bit. It says, I make choices every day. Some may seem more right than others, but through the grace of God, good does prevail. I realize that I am not alone in life. There may be times when I'm feeling detached or undeserving of the love and the presence of God, yet divine grace is there. It's providing for me in ways beyond my imagination, beyond what I have asked for, beyond what I even know to seek, beyond what I think I have earned or deserve. Grace is the blessing of God's unconditional, unceasing love. And then she wrote in her letter that these words gave me hope for the very first time, and I have to trust that God will guide me through these troubled waters, and I will be okay. And I'm sitting in my office, and I started to cry because I realized that the message that she was reading from was one of my first messages that I wrote. And you realize that this magazine has become a conduit of God's grace, touching people's lives. We all struggle. And sometimes we just have to hear that word, that one word that's going to give us strength to get through it. I realized I was part of something way bigger than I had ever been part of before. And it's really humbling. It's really humbling. And we've all had experiences when we've been part of each other's spiritual journeys. We all have those experiences. And it's just incredible when you realize that you are an expression of God. You help people find their divine essence, their truth. You have faith when they don't have faith in themselves. I feel incredibly blessed to have found this work. Like Ellen was saying, you're all going to tell your stories. We all have our stories. Mine's no different. In fact, I think it's exactly the same as a lot of people's stories. I was born a Catholic, raised a Catholic. And then in my teenage years, I joined with some friends at evangelical church. I knocked on doors. I handed out pamphlets. I asked you if you were ready to take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it was around when I was 16, 17. That lasted for about a year. And it's not, there's anything wrong with that, but I'm not the evangelical type. And so after a little trouble there, I left that church and went through my late teens and 20s. Sort of, you know, actually with no religion at all. I was having about as much fun as I possibly can, like most of us in our teens and 20s. I got married and had a child, and somewhere around my mid-30s, I decided that I needed something more. We needed something more. The family needed to have a church. I wanted to raise my son in a church. By this time, I'm from Southern California, and by this time, we had relocated to the Midwest. So I didn't have any churches that I attended in the area. So I started to look around and try different ones, and I just couldn't find the right one until I found Unity. But I didn't know anything about Unity at that time. And it just happens to be that we moved from California to the Midwest. We just happened to move to a town called Lee Summit, which just happened to butt right up against the world headquarters of the Unity Movement that I didn't know existed. So I'm asking around, what is this place? Have you been to Unity Village? How many people have been there? Oh, lots of people. So you know, you've got this big, tall tower and the campus and these shrubs around it. And I didn't even know if I could go on to campus. I didn't know if it was open. It was some secret society or something, you know. So I start asking around, and I hear from others that there's actually a church there. It's a church. I start hearing a little bit about it. Sounds interesting. So I go on Sunday, one Sunday morning, and immediately, I just knew that was the right place. It felt tailor-made for me. And I know that's the same for most people. We always hear it feels like you come home. Whether you go to Unity Village or you come here, feels like you've come home, like you've been welcomed. And I was struck by the absence of fear and judgment and sin. You know, I was struck, but not only that God was good, and I knew that, but I didn't know I was good. You know, I didn't have to leave my intellect at the door. I could still think. I could still ask questions, you know. They were reading from all sorts of scripture, and that was just wonderful. There was wisdom everywhere, and they respected the wisdom that they saw everywhere. There was nothing I had to do to earn God's love. I mean, that's a pretty big one. You know, Unity folks weren't out trying to fix everybody else. They weren't trying to find fault in other people's lives. They were focused on themselves. They were focused on their own spiritual journeys. But yet at the same time, they were uplifting each other. You know, and it was just refreshing, and it was startling. You come from a past when you're tearing yourself down. It felt like just for being human, you know, and finding fault with other people's lifestyles and not feeling good enough. So I felt like Unity was just a breath of fresh air, a life-giving, empowering, strengthening breath of fresh air. And now I find myself as editor of Daily Word, which reaches people of all faiths, all the faiths that I have been and all the faiths that you have been. And all, I mean, just all these people, you know, it's just an amazing thing. And not only from all these different faiths, but we're at different spiritual, you know, points in our spiritual journey. Daily Word is meant to teach Unity principles, but not necessarily to Unity students. It's to everybody. And it was that way from the very start. And in our most recent survey, we found out that about 70% are Catholic or Baptist or another faith have never been to a Unity church. And like Ellen said, it's read in 150 countries and the languages. It doesn't matter. You know, no matter your background, Daily Word readers are drawn to the Unity message. Just like you, just like me, when we first found Unity. And it's been that way since 1924. It was started by a fellow, a Silent Unity worker named Frank B. Whitney in 1924. This is a copy of the first issue. It's not the actual first issue, but it's a replica of it. In the first issue, he wrote, "The teachings will be as absolute as is consistent in making truth clear to the minds of various degrees of spiritual unfoldment." He wanted it to connect to as many people as possible. He cared very much for the people that called into Silent Unity, very deeply. Him and Myrtle Fillmore wanted to have a daily message that the people who called in could have with them every day. And if they weren't able to call, they would have that message, that lesson, to keep them grounded, to keep them grounded in truth. In doing research, when I first came to the Daily Word department, I read some papers that Martha Smock had been... Martha Smock was the editor of Daily Word for many years in the 40s, 50s, 60s, I think. I did some research on him, and she had written some notes about him and said he was always alert to meet the needs of every individual, every type of individual, that no one was out of the scope of Daily Word. One of the mission statements has been to be a bridge from fundamental to metaphysical interpretations of Jesus' teachings, and to be practical, and to deal with everyday problems from a spiritual perspective. We try to speak a universal language, to inspire and encourage from people from all backgrounds in all kinds of circumstances. Like I said, it's not only where you come from, it's also where you are at this moment. I mean, we all have this experience. We are at peace and our life is flowing and we just absolutely know our principles and we are living them every day and we are just going for it. You know, we are in the flow. And then we face those times when we're facing a diagnosis or alcoholism, or we've lost a friend, or somebody in our family is having trouble. We, in Daily Word, also speak to people in prisons. And we have this program called Message of Hope, and it sends the Daily Word and other Unity materials to prisons and hospitals. And it also translates into Braille and sends those materials out free. And I got a letter recently from a man in prison, and I wanted to share that with you. And he's reading the same message that we're reading, and he's taking this message as his own. He says, "I got arrested by the feds, and I'm facing a sentence of 10 years minimum, life maximum, for a crime I did not do. One morning, I woke up lying on my bed in my cell, stressing and thinking about my situation. Another inmate walked past my cell, opened my door, and threw a Daily Word at me. He said, 'This will make you feel better.' For the past 5 months, I've been reading the Daily Word, and it definitely makes my day better. I wish I had known about it years ago." We've all been up. We've all been down. Each day, our intention is to offer a few short paragraphs of encouragement to enlighten and empower. We strive to be honest and yet grounded in truth. The voice we use in Daily Word is the first person. It's deliberate. It's the I. And the I is not me, and the I is not the writer. But the I is the reader, the I is you, the I is the man in prison, the I is all of us. We want to take it as our own. I am strong in mind and body. Let's just breathe that in for a second. You want to say that with me? I am strong in mind and body. I move through change with ease. I move through change with ease. The peace of God flows through me now. The peace of God flows through me now. You know, it's unique to find a publication that speaks to all this range of people, all these experiences. And yet, the most common comment we hear, every single week I will hear this, I feel like today's message was written just for me. In fact, I think Denise and I said that to each other. It happens to me too. How did this happen? And I'm the one that chooses when to go. It's humbling to be part of this experience. And I'll tell you a little bit about when I choose the messages. We work 6 months ahead of time. And we have the writers writing the message, and I've edited. We have a couple of editors. We work on them. We try to get them just right. And then I sit down with 2 months at a time, so I've got maybe 62 messages. And I read them one more time. And there's a couple things I think about that are kind of analytical. I want to take care of the holidays, make sure we do that. I don't want Rev and Ellen to have to be speaking about inner peace every single Sunday, so I want to keep that in mind. But then I just want it to flow. I try not to overthink it. I read them once again. Where does this feel right? Feels like a Wednesday. It feels like a Sunday. I think this needs to go early in the month. I don't want to overthink it. I pray. I just try to let it flow. They find their perfect spot. And then 6 months later, someone will say, that's just what I needed today. And I know I wasn't part of that. Spirit has been working. Thank goodness. I wanted to talk a little bit about the language we use for God, because we use a lot of names for God. God, Spirit, the presence, creator, divine mind, God mind, infinite source. It's all talking about all that is, all that is. But honestly, as soon as we pick a word, it doesn't matter the word we pick, it's going to limit us, it's going to fall short, because there's no way, there's just no way to pick the word that captures all that, you know? So we do the best we can. As in unity, God is oneness, and we are one with God. And how do you put that into words every single day without saying, we are oneness and we are one with God every single day? You can't do that. And Reverend Allen, I read in your book that putting oneness into words isn't easy. And I agree with you completely, especially every day in a different way. And then we've got this diverse audience, and everybody's going to read it their own way, and that's good. That's not bad. That's good. We all have our own filters, no matter where we come from. There's not one way. So we read this through our filters, and we use it as we use it. We read it as we need it. I mean, sometimes I'll get a letter, and they'll mention a message and what it did in their lives, and I'll go back and look at the message, and I don't see that at all. You know, the words are different. Everything's different, but they needed to hear what they heard, and they used it in their lives, and they took it, and that's what's important. I was at a table the other day for lunch, and there was Unity ministers there, and we were talking about this subject, about the names we use for God, and I said that one of the writers used it, capital I-T, and I was going to leave it in. That was fine for this message. And she said, one of the ministers said, no, you can't do that. And she said, God is being, capital B. I said, and then I think it was Denise. She said, I don't see that. I don't feel like being. That doesn't feel like all that is. That sounds like a superhuman. I don't know. If you, the Daily Word editor is standing here telling you, you have my permission to change the word for God. You make it whatever you want to make it for that day. We are attempting to describe the indescribable, you know, and we do the best we can. We all do the best we can, and it's more than a name. I mean, it's just more than that. It's how God is working in our lives. It's how do we use that every day? And Ellen's always asking me, how do you speak to this wide, diverse audience? Unity, non-unity. And I think what we do is we just simply state the truth that we know. We say it honestly and authentically as we can. And it's received in a variety of ways, and that does not concern me at all. I have no desire to change anybody's mind. That's probably why I wasn't a very good evangelical. We're here to support you. We're here to support the reader, to remind the reader that they're not separate from God. And whatever their understanding, we're going to start to feel that presence moving in our lives. I want to focus on how all that is works in us and through us and as us. I have an affirmation that I say every day. It's part of my morning prayer practice. And I got it from Eric Butterworth from Discover the Power Within You a couple years ago. And the affirmation is, I am God's glorious possibility. So say that with me. I am God's glorious possibility. I was thinking about that, and that's really what we're saying in the message. You are God's glorious possibility, and what can you do with that possibility today? And I don't care if you're Catholic or you're Baptist or you're atheist or you're Wiccan or you're confused or whatever. It doesn't matter. You are God's glorious possibility. And imagine the difference that makes in the life of the man that's in prison. In the circumstances he is, there's nothing we can do about that right now. He is God's glorious possibility. So what can he do with that? Do you think it's going to make a difference? I think it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference in the way he reacts to the people around him. It's going to make a difference to the way he just thinks about himself. You know? And it's the same for us when we go to work tomorrow. Or I think you're all retired, aren't you, in this lovely area? Maybe you don't go. When you putter around tomorrow. You're going to say, I'm God's glorious possibility. How well can I putter today? I mean that with all good intentions. And the student standing, going to school, I'm going to be God's glorious possibility today. You know, imagine that difference it makes. And that's what we're talking about every day. How can you use this? How can you be an active participant? As one Unity minister said, God is not a force blowing through you without consent. You are that wind. You are that glorious possibility. We give our consent to that God force by affirming the truth that we know, by going into the silence to find our way, by praying and meditating, by connecting in oneness with the divine mind and the divine wisdom. We give our consent to that God force by living the truth that we know. By forgiving people. By being non-resistant. By letting go and letting God. By claiming our divine life. In unity, we are affirmative and we stand firm in the truth. We uplift and uphold each other and the divine nature of each of us. We say, I am God's glorious possibility. Let's take that thought into meditation. So just breathe into that. I am God's glorious possibility. I am God's glorious possibility. Breathe into that. The life and the love of all that is. The indescribable presence of God is within you. enter into a state of consciousness that is pure. We breathe into that power, that presence of God. A shift occurs in us from the inside out. And we are open to being God's glorious possibility. Let's melt into the silence for just a few moments. And we breathe. There is a river in life, and I am one with that river. There is a flow in life, and I am one with that flow. It is from this space that we become present to the world around us. We allow this divine flow to move fully from us. We allow ourselves to be God's glorious possibility. And so it is. Amen.
Hallelujah.